Travel presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with singer-guitarist Samantha Fish. In our conversation, Samantha discusses her current tour with Kingfish and what she does on off days. Samantha tells us about her home in New Orleans and how she travels and how she moves her gear around, particularly on fly dates. Samantha talks about her favorite guitar, Gibson SG, and the rest of her road gear, amps and pedals, and her favorite Category 5 amps. Samantha describes starting on the drums and her musical upbringing, and Samantha tells us about where she has her repairs done and describes some of the instruments that stay at home. Samantha discusses her musical family and starting early on at jam nights. Finally, Samantha tells us about how she maintains her voice while on the road. To find out more about Samantha, you can go to her website, samanthafish.com. That's SamanthaFish.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. One brief note, if you want to catch my band, The Deadlies, playing, we'll be at the California State Fair this weekend, July 18th, 19th, and 20th. Hope to see you there. Here's my friend Samantha. Hey there, Samantha. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Welcome to my car.
I see. It's like, you know, today's office is mobile.
Exactly.
Cool.
Where are you at?
I'm in Chicago.
Okay.
We had a show a couple nights ago, and we've just got a couple days off between tour dates, so we're going to Green Bay tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
So just chilling here in Chicagoland, yeah.
What are you going to do while you're there?
Well, yesterday we went to a Cubs game, and I saw the Wallflowers play. We play this festival for a venue called Fitzgerald's up here. And
uh-huh.
They had the Wallflowers last night. So I saw them and went to a Cubs game. And today I'm doing interviews and doing some filming stuff. And then maybe, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
Do you go to the Chicago Music Exchange at all or no?
Yeah, I they're always closed on Mondays.
Oh.
It's definitely one of my favorite stopovers, but they're closed on Mondays, so
yeah.
I'm not going to get to see them this time.
I'm sorry. And is home still Missouri for you?
No, I live in New Orleans.
Oh, wow. Okay. So are you you're touring with Kingfish?
We're getting ready to start another string of dates. We've already done like 6 or 7 shows together, and then he did his tour, and I went and did my tour. We went to Europe and all that, and
uh-huh.
then now we're reconvening for our first show tomorrow.
Uh huh. And when you play solo, what size venues are you playing? What's your cap?
Oh, it depends on the market.
Okay.
It depends on the event. Depends on the market. But we're doing a lot of theaters, big clubs,
sure,
festivals type stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just depends.
Yeah. And you carry your own band, of course. And how big is your
uh-huh.
band?
I got a 4-piece band.
Okay.
Right now. So it's me on guitar and vocals, and I've got a drummer and a bass player and a keyboard player.
Oh, right on. Right. And who are they?
Jamie Douglas plays drums, Ron Johnson plays bass, Mickey Finn plays keys.
Okay, cool. Very cool. You were telling me where you live right now?
New Orleans.
New Orleans? And how do you like it there?
Uh-huh.
How's the humidity?
I love it.
Okay.
I actually thrive in the humidity. My hair doesn't, but I do. But other than that, you know, I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's like, you know, it's a really special place for musicians and
sure.
artists, and I'm lucky to count myself among the number that get to spend some time there. So I'm very fortunate.
Yeah, very good. And when you guys are traveling, are you traveling in a Sprinter or are you traveling in a bus?
We're in a bus right now, but you know, it sort of depends on, you know, what does it call for? Like next month, we're doing a lot of fly dates to festivals, so we'll just be flying in and out of places. But for a longer tour like we're on now, we usually do the tour bus.
Yeah, and how do you handle your guitars when you're doing fly dates?
Oh my God. Well, it's ever changing and always adapting. So I bought this little guitar. A vault kind of a thing to
sure.
hold 3.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the company that makes it, but I bought it online and it's done pretty well so far. It's like it holds 3 guitars. There's a lot of foam, a lot of. So I put my 3 least valuable guitars in there, and I checked that. So that's 3. And you know, I do a lot of stuff in open tuning, so you know, it's really good to have some options
yeah.
For the show. And Then I have two SGs, which I pack into. We have a double gig bag, and my tour manager's been carrying that. And then I've got my new 335, which is in a hard case because I haven't found a good enough soft case to house that because, you know, it's hollow body.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I've been carrying that one because I've been very paranoid about it.
Is it in what kind of case, like a Calton case or something?
The 335, it's in a hard case.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, just the one that came in.
One of the really super hard, the super hard cases, or just a regular old hard case?
Just a regular old hard case. Yeah. And I've been hustling it onto the planes myself. So you're
bringing six guitars with you on the when you're doing fly dates?
On fly dates, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. that's respectable.
The show requires.
Yeah, I understand. And what tunings are you using?
I've got a song in open A. We do open G a lot. I do drop D.
Uh-huh.
I'm not scared of a tuning. We do a lot of different tunings.
Cool.
You know, I've got songs in open D, open C, you know, just depends.
Yeah, very good. And so if you weren't doing a fly date, how many guitars would you take with you?
I don't know, like 9 or 10.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
I think that's respectable. I mean,
sure.
There's maybe 15, 16 songs in the set list, so, you know, that's not a song for every guitar, but, you know what I mean? That's not a new guitar for every song.
Is there a guitar that you favor is there a number one guitar?
Yeah, my SG. I just feel like it's really versatile, and it's the one that feels the best in my hands, uh-huh. And... you know, I feel like we're connected,
mm-hmm.
Me and the SG.
Yeah, and of course. And is Gibson making you, is there a Samantha Fish model SG out there?
There's not, but we should tell him.
Yeah, we should.
We should tell him that, yeah.
and do you favor Gibson guitars for the most part? I mean,
I over the years, it's become kind of like a natural progression towards it. I mean, I have some beautiful custom guitars, and I have some great Fenders, and I've, you know, and I generally try to just like play what the song calls for.
Sure.
You know, but I like humbuckers.
Yeah.
And you know, I love my SG. I really love this new 335. It
yeah.
screams. I've got a Firebird that I play on a couple songs.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome. You know, that one's really tough to fly with, but
yeah, of course.
You know, I got a pretty good arsenal of Gibsons nowadays.
and the 335, is that you said it's new? Is it new to you, or is it new?
New.
Oh, right on.
New. I got it in December.
Oh, right on. And what color?
Silver sparkle.
Oh, really? Right on. That's fucking
yeah.
great. That's cool.
Yeah.
And
it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, of course. And for fly dates, so what do you end up, you're backlining, of course, so what do you use for amps?
On a fly date, I would probably do like a DeVille.
Okay.
And I never played DeVilles until I started playing with Jesse Dayton,
mm-hmm.
You know, because I would have a Super and he would have a DeVille, and I would just get like destroyed sonically. The first couple times we did this, I said, okay, I'm switching to DeVille because they, you know, that big speaker, you
sure.
just have more, I don't know, I just realized there's more depth of tone, and it, you know, the crystal clear, the highs are high, you know, it's a great amp. So,
yeah.
You know, but it's so funny. We'll show up to a festival and I'll try out like three different versions of the same amp and they all sound wildly different.
Oh,
you
yeah,
gotta
of course.
Find the one that works for the set. And, but when you get a good one, they sound pretty awesome.
Yeah. And then when you're carrying your own gear, what are you bringing for an amp?
Category 5, is the company that I've been with, Don for a long time. I've got many configurations of Category 5 amps. Like lately I've been doing, it's a 412 speaker cabinet with, it's called their Camille head. It's a 90 watt, you know, tube head. And I just do different configurations for different rooms. You know,
yeah.
If it's a big stage, I want that 90 watt clear, like
sure.
super bell tone, just ballsy. And then, you know, if it's a smaller place, I'll do a 45 watt head and,
yeah.
you know, get a little bit more breakup on a lower volume.
Yeah, of course. And how hard is it to sing with all that volume on the stage?
I'm at odds with myself 100% of the time. So we employ baffles, which I love and hate them because I know it helps the front of house control the mix a little better. But if I had it my way, just be guitars cranked and probably so out of balance. But as a singer, you know, it's been helpful to kind of have a baffle there to, you know, and I've switched to ears recently.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah. Finally made a jump. It took a while to get used to it. I mean, people are always like, is something wrong with your ears? I'm like, no, something's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Because I fiddle with it all night long. You know, I'm like pulling an ear out and like getting, you know, and then putting it back in because I've heard you're not supposed to do that. And then I'll do it on the other side just to even it out, the damage. And live sound is always complicated.
Sure.
You know, and trying to get comfortable, it's something that, like, you know, when you're comfortable, then you can connect with the audience. So for me, it's like I'm always trying to make sure that I'm able to deliver my songs as best I can. And, you know, getting that sound right is a big part of it.
Oh, yeah, of course. And do you carry your own sound man?
Yeah.
You do? So at least you have you have somebody on your side.
Yeah. And he's like, I've been very fortunate to have a number of great people in the crew, and you know, we all have the same goal, and everybody wants to, you know, our sound guy, he realized you gotta be happy on stage with what you're doing in order to put on a good show, and then he's working with what you have. It's a fine balance, though.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
And I try to cultivate a culture. I try to like keep the honesty open. You know, like if we're killing you up here, you know, let us know. But we've got a cool guy who's like, no, go ahead, you're fine. to work with it.
Sure. Do you think starting as a drummer helped your sense of rhythm as a guitar player?
Totally. Yeah, I think that everyone should start on the drums. It just kind of drills the sense of rhythm into you, which, you know, having an internal meter is really, really important. I mean, it's what people dance to.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, we all have a heartbeat. We all have a rhythm. And, you know what I mean? It's like whatever cliche you want to throw at it. But music is 100% like it's about rhythm.
Sure.
So I feel like instilling that in you is going to only help your guitar playing or, you know, your trumpet playing or whatever your chosen instrument is. I think everybody should take drum lessons, and, you know.
And did you study piano too?
No, I didn't. I was going to say everyone should probably learn how to play piano, though I am just now getting around to teaching myself little stuff on the piano. I know I don't have a mind for it, but I wish I did because I feel like that's another theory tool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the more you understand about what else is happening on stage, the better you are on your instrument and communicating, you know, just like communicating with your band members.
Sure.
I think that's really important. You know, if you can speak the language a little bit,
oh, yeah.
You know, and understand, like, you know, what you're trying to get across to them. So, you know, how they should, like, it's just helpful to understand the fundamentals, at least. I'm still struggling to learn piano myself, so I play around with it occasionally.
Uh-huh. When you were playing drums, did you study drums? Did you go to school and everything, or no?
I didn't go to school, but I did take drum lessons when I was 13. 13 to 15, I studied for a couple years. It was like every Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting because as a kid, it's like when you're doing something artistic, I think when I started doing the drum lesson thing, it became more of this like required discipline. And I just wanted to have, you know, I wanted to go in there and play AC/DC songs. I didn't realize I was going to have to learn, you know, syncopation, and there was a lot of math involved. And, you know, suddenly it was like I had all this homework and that I had to cram for every Monday night before, you know, my lesson. It became one of those things that I think because I was just at that age where I was slightly too young to like get into the joy of it, you know.
Yeah.
Like now it's just a discipline thing. When I got to guitar, that was more on my terms, on my time, and not something that I created a rigid structure around. So I think that kind of helped me at that age take to it. It's like, I don't know, anytime I talk to parents who are trying to get their kids into music, I'm like, you got to be very careful because it's so easy to, like, you know, turn it into a chore. And yes, it does require discipline, but, you know, there has to be some kind of natural love for it,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. What does your guitar collection look like at home?
It's ridiculous. Varying degrees of... I've got quite a few guitars. I've stuff that I've collected over the years, stuff that's been gifted to me, a lot of cigar box guitars. it's eclectic. I've got, you know, some really cool pieces. I've got, like, you know, a lap steel and a pedal steel, which I'm, again, not very good at. Pedal steel's like learning how to fly a helicopter.
It's all math.
I was really excited to get that and realized I was so in over my head. I'm like, this is not a regular guitar. I have to be a genius to figure this out. Texture and tone already in my collection. Do I really need this, you know?
Yeah.
And the answer is mostly no, but, you know, I let myself do it anyway occasionally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what about amps? Do you collect amps as well?
I'm not as big into amp collection. I mean, if I see something that really, you know, speaks to me, something like an old cool Supro or something, yeah. That, like, I'm like, I really need that, you know, something funky and weird. But I've, you know, Category 5 has been such a part of my touring life that,
sure.
You know, amps are big and heavy too. So yeah. A guitar is much easier to, like, haul in and out of your house. But yeah, my guitar collection is a lot steeper than the amplifier one, but I do have some cool amps.
Cool. And as far as getting stuff serviced and fixed, who do you go to?
Well, I've got a guitar company in New Orleans called Strange Music. They do all my guitar repairs. And, you know, when we're not, like, if we're on the road, we might need to get a quick fix out here. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot, but if I'm at home, Strange Music, or I, you know, for amplifiers, I'll ship stuff back to Don
sure.
at Cat 5 and, you know, get it worked on. You know, if it's something simple, there's, like, you know, if you can get in, there's not a ton of guitar repair or, like, amplifier repair people in New Orleans. So okay. Sometimes it's, like, easier for me just to ship it to my guy back in Texas than it would be to get on a waiting list, you know,
yeah.
And service to in town, but
absolutely. Did you start playing guitar before your sister, or was your sister playing guitar before you?
She was doing everything before me. She was singing and playing piano, playing guitar. She was doing it all. I think that part of the reason why I jumped to drums, because nobody was playing the drums in the family. Okay. So I was like, I'll do that. That's mine. And then, you know, naturally, me kind of, I gravitated towards the guitar.
Yeah.
But yeah, she started. I don't remember what age she started, but I do recall her getting into it before I did.
Sure. And when you started early on, were you busking at all, or did you just start writing a band?
Busking?
Uh-huh.
Did you say busking? Okay. So I, you know, of course, you start off in your bedroom, you know, or your basement or whatever playing, and I would go to, like, open jams.
Yep.
And sit in with people.
Sure.
That was such a great thing for me as a young musician, because I, especially growing up in Kansas City, I could have gone to a jam any night of the week. There was a pretty poppin' scene at the time. And I got to meet a lot of my musical peers in town and helped me to, you know, sort of figure out what I was looking for in bandmates. And,
yeah.
You know, so when I first put the band together, I kind of knew everybody.
Uh-huh.
Knew I felt like I had, like, an idea of their strengths.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I think I did that for like a year or two and started piecing together a band, and I just put together a trio.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have any business being in a trio, but it was the you know, the economic choice for broke guitar players. I mean, I definitely struggled in that setup for a while, but, you know, nothing makes you a better guitar player than being the only guitar player in a
absolutely.
Band.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's kind of where it started.
And did you notice when the cigar box video became viral, did you notice an immediate, like, bump in the attendance?
Which cigar box guitar video? We've had a couple really good moments where I've noticed like a viral video, and it's always some cell phone video
yeah,
from like
exactly
10 years ago or five, you know, and you're like, that okay. I don't know why I'm spending money on music videos, but that's the thing that blows up is some cell phone video. No, but there have been a couple of videos like that I noticed suddenly, that we had a spike in some, you know, social media follows or, you know, one video we had kind of blew up in Brazil.
Oh, wow.
That was sort of cool, yeah. You know, I was like, interesting, you know. But, like, those things happen and then, you know, maybe something else will come from it. I remember one of these little viral video moments. That's how I met my producer, Bobby Harlow, because he saw this video and reached out. And then, you know, all of a sudden this door opened to go and record some demos for Sire Records. And then we did Chills and Fever together. And we just did Paper Doll together this year. So, you know, sometimes those kind of things just, they might not seem like much at the time. Like, oh, that's cool. But it could open a door 2 years from now.
Sure. Absolutely, yeah. How many countries have you been to?
I don't know. I'm fortunate to say that. We've toured, you know, pretty extensively in Europe. Australia is kind of a new territory that I'm getting around to, you know, hitting all the big cities there, which is sort of, you know, really fun. Hoping to make it to, you know, Japan this year. Hoping to, you know, I'd love to go to South America.
Yeah.
But a lot of countries, been to Europe quite a few times, been to Canada, Mexico, you know, all that.
Yeah. Is there any country that you, apart from the U.S., that you love being in?
I mean, I do. I mean, like, I love going to, we just played in Spain and it was a blast, man. I mean, like, our fans that are so loving and enthusiastic and, like, you know, at times while we were playing this record over in Europe, I was like, man, these guys really get this record. You know, everybody is clapping right when they're, so, you know, like, just like engaged in the show, you know, jumping up and down at all the big spots in the red. And I'm like, damn, this, you know, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I love going to France. I love going to the UK. Germany is always fun. Spain, Italy, you know, where the food and the wine is good. That's always fun. Yeah.
And when you get a break, what do you do for fun?
Fun. I don't know. I mean, I go home and I try to catch up with my friends and family. You know, the relationships that you neglect by going on the road.
Sure.
I really, you know, it's like when I have downtime, it's all about the catch up. You know, like going home and like, okay, you know, let's get grounded and. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if that's fun, but, like, it's nice. It's fun for me to see people I care about, you know.
Of course.
But, like, I don't know. I'm not, like, going to ride roller coasters every day. but, you know, I just try to maintain, you know, the relationships that I have and write songs, you know. I'm very music-oriented, you know. So even when I'm off, I'm thinking about, you know, what's the next record, like what, you know, like what songwriting, you know, I do a lot of songwriting sessions and you know, that's fun for me.
Sure. Of course. And do you do a lot of woodshedding as far as?
Yeah, you know, it depends on how I'm feeling about it, because, you know, we're on tour, it's like it's guitar.
Yeah.
So sometimes when I get home, the last thing I want to do is look at a guitar. And I know this is for a guitar magazine, but it's the truth, you know.
I understand.
To have, well, and I you know, again, kind of talking about the balance between, like, having love for it and the discipline to get better. I mean, I go through phases, you know, where, like, sometimes I'm, like, really getting after it, and it's like, okay, I'm feeling really inspired to learn and, you know, to chase down different things that, you know, are going to make me a better player. And then sometimes I get home and I'm like, I don't want to look at that thing. You know, I need a break.
Yeah.
I need a break from my, I need to do something else and be, you know, to be a well-rounded person. And it's all necessary.
Oh, yeah,
you
of
know?
Course.
It's all necessary.
Yeah. And how do you take care of your voice when you're on the road?
Oh, God. Well, that's like, you know, as a singer, my biggest fear is to not be able to do it. I feel like I could break two fingers and still pull off a show on the guitar.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I figured it out. But singing, when that goes out, it's out.
Yeah.
So, and it's, like, terrifying. It gives me a lot of anxiety, and I know it does a lot of people. But so what I do, you know, it's all about rest. You know, you gotta sleep. You gotta drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
You know, try not, like, if you're if you're limping, you know, don't do things that are going to exacerbate the situation. Do a lot of steam. I do a lot of vocal warm-ups. Really anything I can.
Sure.
I've got little gadgets and, you know, impulse buys from Instagram.
Uh-huh.
But really the best things are like water, rest, and warming up. Warming up and cooling down if you're feeling, like if I'm feeling extra fatigued after show, I'll do a 5-minute cool down, which, I don't know, it kind of seems counterintuitive because it's more singing, but it actually kind of resets your voice into this other position that I don't know, it helps with recovery.
Uh-huh.
So I don't understand the mechanics behind it, but it works.
Yeah. And do you have an instrumental set just in case?
No, that's the thing. I mean, I can always stretch out on a guitar solo, but I feel like, you know, if it ever got to that point, I, you know, knock on wood, I don't even want to talk about canceling shows, but I haven't had to cancel a show due to laryngitis in a long time, but you know, if I had to, I feel like that's such a big part of the show.
Oh yeah.
You know, I would just have to postpone, you know, sadly.
And
I would do everything.
Oh yeah, of
I would
course.
Do that. I'd probably get shots of cortisone in my throat.
Oh no, don't say that.
Oh yeah. No, I'm joking. Come on.
We talked about guitars and amps. Do you have pedals? Are you using any specific pedals?
Oh yeah, yeah. I got a rig. A love-hate relationship with it too, you know. Pedals are like, I don't know, they can make and break me sometimes, but I've got some really fun ones right now. I'm just talking about like the technical aspect of it. Like you're on a show and suddenly something goes out.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, which one of the 15 patch cables down here could it be? You know, that's always exciting. But I think the thing I rely on the most, my greatest crutch is probably the Analog Man King of Tone.
Oh,
pretty solid, you know, pedal.
Yeah.
I've got some fun stuff, some cool delays, you know, the carbon copy.
Sure, of course.
Fun to tweak. I've got a micro pog. That's super fun.
Mm-hmm.
MXR Super Shifter. I've got a new reverb. I don't even know what it is. I just needed it for one, not a reverb, a tremolo for one song.
Okay.
So I just went and bought, I'm not well versed in tremolos, so I just bought whatever they had at the local music store in some city. And JHS Mini Foot Fuzz.
Sure.
It's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
For being so small. And, you know, I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
And are you pro Klon or against Klon?
I'm not pro or against any pedal. If it works for you, bless you.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're stomping on it. I think the thing that I am working with now is like just trying to make sure that it doesn't overly compress what's happening between my guitar and my amp.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's like, you know, that sounds really, really sweet, but, you know, sometimes you really want that extra push.
Yeah.
And I've heard, you know, like, now it's just kind of figuring out, like, when are you doing a disservice, like, an overly compressing if it's not cutting anymore?
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, between that and the technical aspect of you know, little things breaking within the pedal chain.
Yeah.
you know. Those are my two biggest gripes at the pedal board, but I, you know, I use one every show, and you know, it can definitely paint a wide, you know, it's sonically you can do a lot. So
right.
I don't know, I'm not pro or against Klon. I actually am not too well versed.
Yeah, and your pedal board? Did you set up your pedal board, or do you have it set up?
Yeah, I did. That's probably why it's all broken. You know, it's a DIY.
Well, okay. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you. I really appreciate this time, Samantha. It means a lot to me.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I hope I'm in Northern California. I know you were just here, but hopefully, I get to catch you pretty soon.
We're coming back in, like, September, I think.
Okay, cool. I'm going to catch you in September. Right on.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadleys.com, and I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys. We'll be right back.